The Book of the Revelation, the scope of our study today. Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a Bible teaching session entitled, Mystery in the Revelation. The Book of the Revelation seems to be a mystery to a lot of people. Some people are afraid of the Book of the Revelation. That may not be so bad. The world that we live in, they need to be afraid of something. The Book of the Revelation is nothing to be afraid of, especially if you're on the right side of the road, right side of the fence, you're born again. You don't have to be afraid of the Book of the Revelation because you're in the right place. When you get to that chapter 4 and he says, come up here, you'll be among the saints, go marching in. Mystery in the Revelation is a title of our session this time. God's revelation of Christ was given to reveal truth, not to conceal it. People think about the Book of the Revelation and they say you cannot understand it because everything is symbolic and hidden and there's shadows and mysteries. And there are some similitudes and images in the Book of the Revelation, comparisons, but God makes the Book of the Revelation plain to us, just like he does all the other words of Christ. Jesus said, blessed are you if you even read and understand. You keep those things that are written in this book, there's a blessing on you if you do and observe and go by the Book of the Revelation. We in the church, we say, well, we're not going to be here. You don't have to worry about it. That's true, but we need to be talking about the Book of the Revelation. Because the Book of the Revelation, it has to do with the end times. We're certainly living in the last days. We're living in the end times, and we need to be talking about the Book of the Revelation. It is given to reveal Christ. That's what revelation is. The revelation is the unveiling of Christ. It's given to us to reveal truth, not to conceal it. He says, the time is at hand. Do not seal the mystery, the prophecy. It's a mystery if you don't understand it. But the more that you understand, the mystery is unfolded. And he told Daniel, seal up the book. Shut it up. The time is yet to come. Daniel had a hard time. He wanted to know. He wanted to understand. He wanted somebody to tell him. God said, go your way, Daniel. Shut up the words, they're sealed to the time of the end. But he tells John the opposite. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Let it open, let it be revealed. Our golden text is Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is said some 7 times in the book of the Revelation. And for each church, you have this quote, he who has an ear, most people I know have an ear, at least one, most of us have two. But he's not just talking about the ear like this, auricula, he's talking about the ear, the inner ear. Spanish has 2 words for ears. They have oreja, your mother grabs you by this and jerks a knot at you when you don't do what's right. And they also have oído. Oído is the inner ear, the real ear. People hear with their ears on the outside of their head, but they are not listening with their inner ear. When you hear the word of God, you have heard it with your oído, with the inner ear, with your real heart. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the verse here says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit, you know who he is, don't you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is talking to the churches. And if we have ears to hear, and we do, certainly as born again people, we have an ear to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God is saying something to the churches. There are churches who believe that God doesn't even speak anymore. But Jesus said, I have many things that I want to tell you. I've got things that I am dying. Well, he didn't say that. He was going to die anyway, but I got things I really want to say. I really want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will let you know what I'm trying to tell you. And he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're talking about the Spirit. What about the seven spirits of God? What in the world is that all about? We know that there are not seven Holy Spirits. He blesses us. The one we have blesses us so much. I couldn't stand it for a seven, I know. The Holy Spirit is one Spirit, but it's manifested in what the Bible calls the seven spirits of God. That is the complete Spirit of God. When you have the Holy Spirit, not just baptize the Holy Spirit, of course, that's the fullness, but when you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have just a little splinter from God. You have the complete ball of wax. You got the whole package. The Holy Spirit is not just some watered-down version of God. The Holy Spirit is full God just as much as the Father and the Son are God. And the Spirit of God is manifested in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia. He's writing to seven literal churches, and it speaks to the church age which we live in now. All the church age combined and all the churches. And he sees it here and ministers here to seven specific churches, particular churches, and they're named in the book of the Revelation. But this church, the church in town, the church in California, the church in London, the church in Russia, the Christian church, the churches all across the world can identify with what he's talking about to the seven churches. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Now that takes care of everything. God is the one who was, past tense. He's the God who is, present tense. And he's the God who always shall be, future tense. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. The complete, wonderful, Holy Spirit of God is termed here, or said here, described here as the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. He is a faithful witness. He's the one who the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He's the one who is the first begotten from the dead. He is the King, the Father. Jesus Christ is the King of the resurrection. Because he was raised from the dead and is the first fruits of those who sleep in Christ, we also will rise also with him. Because he is risen, we will rise also. He is the beginning, the first fruits. The one who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. The prince of the kings of the earth. Not just a ruler to be sworn in and then voted out or run out his term. He's the one who is the prince, the king of kings, the lord of lords, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the one we're talking about. That's what the book of the Revelation is all about. That's who the book of the Revelation is all about. The one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Not somebody else's blood, which could never do it, but his blood can, did, and will wash you from your sins. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, this is chapter 3, verse 1, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. If you got the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, it sounds like to me you've got everything. Seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Don't be a Sardis church. You might like sardines and crackers, like Bully done flung a craving on me, but don't be no dead church. Don't be part of that Sardis church. I know your works. He says, I know that you have a name that you live, but you're dead. And the Spirit of God will cause you to live. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Heaven is not a boring place, brothers and sisters. Heaven is a place of action. Heaven is a place of voices and thunderings, not the kind of thunder that'll hurt you like down here, but the thunder is the praise of God. Rumbling and praise and worship. Voices and lightnings and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. There are lamps of fire that burn in the very presence, essence of the throne of God. Round about the throne, the fire of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, around about that throne. Chapter 5, verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Don't you tell me he can't see everything that everybody in the whole wide world is doing. Amen. He has got those seven eyes, the complete vision, the complete Spirit of God, the lamb as he had been slain. He is seen there as a slain lamb. And we know that he's risen. We know that he's whole. And we know that he's healed and he's glorified. He doesn't feel any pain like that. But he's seen in heaven, in the midst of the throne, a lamb as it had been slain. And you might say, well, why is he pictured there as a slain lamb? Because that's what he did for us. He was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind and heart of God, it was already good as done. Then on Calvary, it took place. The Lamb of God who was slain for the sin of the world. No wonder John the Baptist could say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Praise be to his holy name. And he's seen in the midst of the throne. Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Not just on the throne, but the Spirit of God is permeating this earth, sending forth into all the earth the power, the glory of God. Washington may not acknowledge it. London and Moscow may not observe it, but he's still God Almighty. And he's still the eyes of the Lord. The Old Testament said, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Isaiah chapter 11 talks about this one who would come forth, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And according to the flesh, he was the son of David. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And if you go to Isaiah 11 and start in verse 1 and 2, you can count these characteristics, and the Spirit will there match up to seven, if you want to do it that way. And he is the Lord, the seven spirits of God. And it says here concerning Christ, who was to come at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You count those, it comes out to seven. There's a lot of numbers in the book of the Revelation, and John sees it, the glorified Christ, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, with feet like brass, eyes like fire. Hears a great voice saying, come up higher. He has a voice like the sound of many waters. John falls down at his feet. He said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Fear not. He hears the voice of Jesus say, I am he who lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. He is a glorified Christ now, and he still walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Verse 20 of chapter 1, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks or lampstands, the newer versions say, which thou sawest are the seven churches. There are many sevens throughout the book of the Revelations. We've already seen the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes, the seven lamps burning before the throne, the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars in his right hand. And that seven means completeness, perfection. It's God's number of completion and perfection. God is a perfect and complete God. The numbers in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, opens with John being invited to come up hither. Thank God, that's the shout that we're waiting for. The Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ who are there will be raised, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God, he's coming back, and we're listening for that sound and that shout to come up here. He sees God on the throne. Oh, there's nothing like it. The wonderful brightness of the throne of God. The fire of lamps before the throne. And it's surrounded by 24 elders representing all the saints and all the church. Many angels around about the throne. Verse 4, round about the throne and 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And they, every chance they got, would cast those crowns before his feet and before the throne and give praise to God. Verses 6 and 7, before the throne, there was a sea of glass likened to crystal, just as pure and shiny, clean as crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, these living creatures full of eyes before and behind. First beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. These were like the creatures that Ezekiel saw all throughout his book, starting in chapter 1, ending up in about chapter 48, and he saw the last vision somewhere around 46 or 47, and he sees these living creatures. And that's the one where he said there's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. These living creatures, they didn't even have to turn their head. They, one of their heads, all of them in every direction, north, south, east, and west. They didn't have to turn their head. They just thought about which way they wanted to go, and they went that way. If they wanted to go to the left, they just thought that. You didn't have to look and turn that way. You just thought it. They went to the left. You thought right. They went to the right. You thought frontward. They went frontwards. You thought backward. They went backwards. These creatures that were made expressly to praise and to worship God. Wouldn't you like to have a job like that? Here's your job, Hoss. What's my job? My job is to praise and worship God forever. Just all day and all night. When you could, we had sleep at night, but they don't have to do that. Every day, all day long, they just praise and worship God. What a wonderful job that would be. The four living beings continually cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For your pleasure, all these things were created." When they begin to worship God, and they do, the 24 elders fall down and worship God and cast their crowns before the throne. John sees things like the book sealed with seven seals, chapter 5, verse 1. The seven angels holding the seven judgment trumpets, chapter 8, verse 2. The seven angels with the seven last plagues, the judgment of God to pour out on this world, the bowls or vials of God, chapter 15, verse 1. He sees this wonder in chapter 12, verse 3. There appears another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. He's not here yet as per se, but he is definitely influencing this world right now. They're under his sway. They're getting set up for the greatest devastation and loss that this world has ever known, called the tribulation period. It's not here yet. Why do I know? Because we're still here. Amen. And we're waiting of the rapture of the church. When that takes place, the tribulation sets in. But even now, that great red dragon is having his sway over so many souls, men and women and boys and girls. He has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. He's always wanted to copy God, always wanted to be like God. And here he is with his 7 heads and his 10 horns and his 7 crowns on his head. John sees him. I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns. There he is. Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. He's always wanting to blaspheme God and go against God, and he will never rest until he does it on and on until the end, which of time, of course, he'll be judged. Thank God. God has given us the victory. And John does not only see bad things like the beast and the false prophet, the dragon, beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist, but he sees the 144,000 and the rest of the multitude of the tribulation saints. And they stand in chapter 7. They're redeemed out of every tongue and nation and kindred. Chapter 14, the 144,000, he sees them again. Then, what about the mark of the beast? Everybody's concerned about this mark. What about it? Don't run your credit card through. Don't do this. It might be the mark of the beast. No, it's setting up for the mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast is not here yet. It won't be until the rapture takes place. We've already read 13:1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Verse 16 through 18, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. If you want to get identified with this crooked thing, this beast who is the Antichrist, if you want to get identified with him, there are a lot of ways you can do so. You can get his mark in your hand. You can get it in the forehead. You can be identified with his image. You can be identified with the number of his name. There's all kind of ways that you can. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Chapter 14, verse 9, makes it very clear that they who worship the beast, receive the mark, or identify with his image, or the number of his name, have no rest, but are tormented with fire day and night forever. This is chapter 14, verse 9 through 11. On the other hand, those who did not worship the beast, but who had gotten victory over him, according to chapter 15, verse 2, they stand on the sea of glass, having the hearts of God, and they praise God forever and ever. There is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory in the power of the blood of the Lamb. The book of the Revelation, there are some mysteries there. But Jesus comes, and he comes to John, and he said, I've sent my angel to make known to you these things in the churches. He wants the church to know what's going on in these last days. He wants us to talk about the book of the Revelation. He wants us to talk and tell our loved ones, look, there's coming a time on this earth when all hell's going to break loose. God's wrath will be poured out on this earth. And you don't want to be here then. You can make fun of the church. You cannot listen to me. You can not read your Bible. But you better start thinking about where you're going, because there's coming a time on this earth. If you think things are bad now, there's virus, pandemic, inflation, economic distress. It doesn't hold a candle to what's coming. When the wrath of God is poured out on this world, people will gnaw their tongues for pain, and they will seek death, and death will flee from them. Most people, even now, they have pneumonia, they have all these things that try to snuff out their life, and they don't want to die. Get involved in terrible wrecks, they don't want to die. We try our best to live. cardiac arrest, all these things, and diabetic comas and things that happen to people, cancer, lung problems, heart disease. We try to live. It'll be so bad then that people will desire to die. They'll pay people to kill them, and they won't do any good. Death will flee from them. And I'm glad that we can have life in Jesus Christ. Praise God, He's given us life abundantly. And we have so much to praise God for and to look forward to. When Jesus Christ comes again, all that mystery will be out of the way. All the revelation will be fulfilled. And He that says He has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Father, we thank you for this wonderful book. This book that is sometimes a mystery to us, but we thank you for it. We are glad that you included it in your word. We're glad that you put it in the end of the Bible. We're glad that you said, let no man add to it or take away from it, but go by it, observe it, read it, hear it, talk about it. Spread the news to others that Jesus is coming again. Lord, you said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer today, Lord. I pray that many would get in a position where they could pray that without fear. Even so come, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
This has been a Bible teaching session from the book of the Revelation, entitled Mystery in the Revelation. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know and serve Him as your Lord today. All the mystery will be taken away. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.